Welcome to Starring You. This podcast is dedicated to helping you thrive after your 9-to-5 by giving you the confidence and skills you need to launch your side hustle and so much more. I'm your host, Tasha Johnson. This is episode 68, Ramona Brooks, Loan Officer. So I've been a little quiet lately because I recently purchased my dream home, and this has definitely been an emotional roller coaster for me, which you can hear more about in my Hustle and Faith podcast, episode 138. Today, I have the amazing pleasure of speaking with Ramona Brooks. She is an amazing loan officer that works at CIBC. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here finally.
Yes, thank you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am a mortgage banker. I work in our community lending mortgage division, which means I work with a lot of the down payment assistance programs and the not-for-profit agencies to help buyers become homeowners. I've been with CIBC for a little over 7 years now, been in the business for probably 21, 22 years.
Oh, wow.
Not trying to age myself, but it's been a minute. And I am very happy to share that we have finally opened our Bronzeville branch. And once we get the green light, that's where I'll be sitting.
Fantastic. Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yes.
That is great. That's awesome. And then, you know, full disclosure, everyone, Ramona was actually my loan officer for my recent homeowner purchase. So I can tell you right off the bat, she is absolutely amazing. But I'm kind of curious, why did you decide to become a loan officer?
Well, that's a funny story. I was actually in the chemical business. I sold food, drug, and cosmetic chemicals.
Wow.
Grade chemicals to the beauty business, the food industry.
Wow. Okay.
And I was doing a lot of traveling. And I developed a fear of flying.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's some irony there.
Yeah. So I couldn't, it was too much. And then at that time, I was working with a company that was transitioning, and the whole industry was changing at that time. So a friend of mine said that she was going to this meeting at a minority-owned company, mortgage company, and she brought me in. And I started going to her trainings and just kind of fell into the business.
Wow. Okay. That is, okay. I could not have even scripted that story.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But that, you know what? Things happen for a reason. And when they're not planned, it's even more interesting and entertaining. That's awesome.
And it was definitely not planned. I had no plans of changing industries. It's a sales position to a sales position. I really never thought I'd be a good salesperson, but you know, I've proven myself wrong on that a couple of times. But yeah, it was a bit of a change.
That is awesome. So what characteristics should people consider when searching for a loan officer?
So I'm going to use you as an example.
Okay. No, go ahead.
In our initial meeting through email, you send a list. And no, I'm not going to go into the strong part, but you send a list of questions. And I thought that was excellent because you had specific needs that you were trying to make sure that the person that you work with had some experience in, and you outlined them in that email.
Yeah.
And I think that was really great because you knew exactly what you wanted. And you had a previous experience that wasn't so pleasant.
Yeah.
So the way that you put it out there, you know, if this is not what you specialize in, or if you don't have any information, please be upfront with me so that I can move on. So I think that everybody should create a list of needs and wants. We know that everybody can't work with everybody. People don't always jive. So yeah. I think that you should, you know, you want to find like-minded people. It's not always going to happen, but
true.
If you put what you're looking for out there and you know, that of course there may be some opportunity to make some, the little wiggle room here and there, but
sure.
I think you should highlight what your needs are and what your wants are. And then you have to come to a happy medium with that, because you just can't, everybody can't work together.
That is so true. And just so y'all know a little bit of the backstory.
I wasn't going to say it.
I am such an open book. I have no problem saying it. I had went to a previous loan officer, and this person completely wasted my time for almost a week and a half, only to find out they weren't certified in what I was looking for. So by the time I got to Ramona, I was kind of like, listen, do you do X, Y, Z? And I knew it came off as abrupt. And I am just so glad that I called you, because I just wanted to smooth it over, because I had gotten the runaround. And I'm the type of person that's very direct. I'm like, I do, because that's how I treat my clients. I'm very direct with them. I want to make sure that we're all aligned on the same page, transparent. And yeah. And when people waste my time, that is such a pet peeve. Like, just tell me if you do it or not, you know?
Right. And I totally understand that. And I've told people since, you know, our initial experience, that's a good way to make your introduction, by outlining exactly what you're looking for and what you expect of the person that you're working with.
Yeah. And by the way, you hit every nail on the head. I mean, Ramona was on it with everything.
I was a little afraid, though, I have to admit.
You were afraid.
I was afraid. I was about to hit delete.
I know. And that's why, honestly, I had called, because I wanted to make sure. I mean, this other loan officer, who shall remain nameless, really wasted my time. A lot of my time, only to find out they weren't even certified in the program that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. But yeah, I'm really glad you didn't hit that delete button. That would make me sad. Because I think, I mean, well, you know, from working with me, I mean, if you ask me something, I'm going to give it to you. Like, there's no lag time.
Everything, every request, you right there, everything came through. And it's because I work in community lending, the majority of my buyers are first-time home buyers. So my job is basically to have a lot of patience and to engage in handholding, because this is, you know, most people haven't made a purchase of this size, first-time home buyers especially. So they're nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to make people feel comfortable without, you know, BSing, which is kind of what you got.
Exactly. And I appreciated that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show too, is to encourage other people to, you know, think about owning your own property, which actually leads me to the next question. Can you get into a little bit of the difference between renting and owning property? Because sometimes some people don't necessarily understand what the benefits are of owning rather than renting.
So there are a number of benefits to owning, especially in this market that we're in right now. The rents are incredible.
Yeah.
You can, you know, people are paying $2,500 for a one bedroom apartment.
Yes.
You know, to be in certain areas. So outside of the fact that you're owning your own, you're building equity, you know, you have your own walls that you can do with what you please, and you're not making a landlord rich. There's tax advantages. A lot of people are paying, you know, so much money in taxes, and they don't have any deductions to offset that money. So at tax time, they're not getting a penny back, sometimes even owing. So owning a property will certainly help with that. And to have, you know, a legacy to leave your children, your grandchildren, you know, it's something that was taken away from us as a people.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to share that and experience that is so, so very important now.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
But yeah, rents are so high now. And most of the time, when people have come from $1,500, $1,600 a month rents, I try to keep them as close to those payments as possible, especially with first-time home buyers, because you don't want to put people in the payment shock. You want people to be comfortable, because along with home ownership, you're adding expenses. You know, the grass is no longer going to be cut by someone else. The snow is no longer going to be shoveled by someone else. If something breaks, it's now your responsibility. So you don't want people to have an added burden with home ownership. You want them to be comfortable with their payments and to be able to take care of their needs. And if they have any, you know, some people have to have Starbucks every day. You want them to be able to still live and do the things they like to do while being a homeowner.
That's so true. I can agree with everything you just said, because, you know, as someone who came from renting, I was just like, you know what? I need to look into owning. I think I was just scared for so long. Mm-hmm. And I finally decided to kind of take the leap. And, you know, you brought up a good point about equity. Can you go a little bit into that? What exactly is equity for those that aren't necessarily familiar with that term?
Okay, so equity is what your property is worth versus what you owe on your property. Mm-hmm. So let's say you purchased a $100,000 property and you've been making payments to the point where now you're at $85,000. Mm-hmm. Well, now you have $15,000 of equity in that home. So if something was to break or you needed to get some money, you have money in your home. I don't suggest it unless it's absolutely necessary, but you have money in your home that you can take out to, you know, if your furnace went out, your air conditioning went out, your roof was bad, you have money in that home to be able to take it out to get those things done. And in addition to that, if you're, you know, one day, let's say you after you become a senior and you decide you want to do a reverse mortgage or something to your living, you know, to enhance your living.
Sure.
That's a great, when you have equity in your property, that's a great opportunity to be able to use that equity to help you live. I mean, you could get a check every month or you can get a lump sum payment. And outside of that, if you're handing it down to your children or your grandchildren, you want them to have, you know, a ton of equity. You don't want to give them a property and then have the burden of having no equity that they owe the same thing that the property is worth.
Yeah, that's true. And typically, how long does it take for equity to be built up in the property? Or is that just based off of the price of the property?
Well, right now, because of this hot market that we're in now, I mean, we're seeing people building equity in a year. It just depends.
What?
Because we've been in a hot market since last year, even though we've been in a pandemic, where, you know, people are putting multiple offers on properties, they're increasing purchase prices. So it just depends on, it depends on the areas that you're looking in and what your purchase price is. Because, you know, people are getting equity in a year on some of these properties. I had one person that purchased last, I think it was March, and they just came back to try to refinance. It didn't work, but they had an independent appraisal done and found out that their property value had gone up over $50,000 in a year. Now that's not typical, but we're seeing it happening more and more because of this hot market that we're in right now.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't imagine. I thought you were going to say like, at least 5 or 6 years.
Well, that's
year.
Typical, but right now we're not in a typical market. This it's kind of growing too fast. It's making me a little nervous.
Oh, really?
I don't want to see another mortgage crisis happen, but I think the appraisers are helping to slow it down a bit because they're not, you know, for an example, I had somebody that just purchased a house a couple years ago, and then they were reselling it and they added another $75,000 on it. And that's not your typical growth it wasn't even 2 years. So when my buyers went to buy it, the appraisal didn't agree with what they were trying to get.
Got it.
Are some stops in place to, you know, kind of prevent people from going crazy with these purchase prices, sales prices.
Wow. Okay. And you know what, with so many changing rules and laws being enacted, how do you keep up with them? Because that to me is just, there's so many codes and everything. I don't know how you keep it straight.
It's difficult. Fortunately, Usually, you know, we have people within the bank that make sure that we get, you know, the new things sent down to us. We have underwriting calls where they go over all the changes and laws, and it's hard because especially during this COVID period, there's been a lot of COVID guideline changes. Mm-hmm. And of course, we don't agree with all of them. We're very sensitive to it because some of them are very restrictive to people. Mm-hmm. But okay. It's just been a lot more since last year that we've had to keep up with. And honestly, I can't say that I keep up with all of them sometimes. You mm-hmm. know, it's something that's like, did you remember that this, you can't do this anymore? So it's a lot. It's not, mm-hmm. again, we're not in a typical market. We're not used to things changing so rapidly and so often, but we just have to adjust right now until we get out of this pandemic phase.
Yeah. But you know what? I am amazed at how you have been able to keep up with them. And one of the
reasons. Oh, me too.
you said you too.
honestly, what my head, I don't know how you do. The underwriting manager, we were looking at a deal and he said, I don't think there's anything else you can do. And just, I went to bed and at 3:30 in the morning, I came up with this idea and came back to him the next morning. And he was like, wow. I wouldn't have thought of that, but it worked. So sometimes they don't come to me right away, but it amazes me sometimes some of the things I remember.
And see, that is honestly what I love about you. That was one of the reasons why I was so like, okay, yes, this is gonna, I feel like I'm in good hands. And I just knew right off the bat that was your work style. Cause I'm very similar that way. I don't know. I thrive off of challenges and I get the feeling you do too.
Oh yeah. that's why you ended up closing with me. I said, I'm going to take her on. She's going to be my challenge.
That bad. I don't know. I hope I wasn't that bad.
Oh, your email scared me a little. I'll admit it.
It's funny. I know I could be direct. And actually that brings us to the next question because guys, this is one of the reasons why I ended up contacting Ramona is because there is, what is it? It's a program and I can't remember what the acronym stand for, but it's called IDHA. And it
Illinois
was for
Department Development Housing Authority. Illinois.
Yes, that's yeah. it. Thank you. I can remember off the top of my head. I should have wrote that in. And so they had this Smart Buy program. Again, they weren't really advertising it. It was really new. And the loan officer that I had contacted before I met Ramona made it seem like he knew what he was doing. And then I found out at the end of the process when it really was time for him to kind of like do something, wasn't certified. And so that's why I contacted Ramona. And again, very... interesting abrupt email, but it was straight to the point. It was basically, hey, do you know how to do this or not? Someone else wasted my time, blah, blah, blah. So what I would love to know from you are what are your thoughts regarding the Illinois Department Housing Authority's programs? So like the Smart Buy, some of the other programs that they're coming out with that are pretty recent, you know, do you believe that these programs are working? Are they helping the people that actually need it most? What are your thoughts?
I absolutely believe they help people.
Okay.
That, and there's also a kind of a, that one, and I talked to you about this before, they have a credit score requirement for all of their programs of 640. Mm-hmm. Since we've been in this crisis, the pandemic, I think that people's credit guidelines have kind of tightened. Mm-hmm. And with loans that we run through IDA before the pandemic were getting approved and now they're not getting approved because of, I think there's some kind of algorithm and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but
sure.
Something in the credit now that, you know, it's just, everybody's not getting approved. Mm-hmm. But for those that are getting approved, I think that it's an excellent program. It's a way to purchase a home and not, you know, empty out your bank account with your down payment. It gives, you know, you can get $5,000, $6,000, up to $10,000 with the grants. And then there's the one loan. And with the new Smart Buy program, it will pay your student loans up to $40,000. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to qualify for these programs. It has to be an automated approval, which is my problem with it. I don't like the fact that IDA doesn't do a manual underwrite, because there's some people that have, you know, lower credit scores, but they have great credit.
Yeah.
And I think that that would be something that they, and we talked about this on our calls, you know, something that they should take a look at. But yes, I absolutely believe in the programs and I love them. That Smart Buy program has been an absolute success with them. We don't know how long it's going to last, because I don't think they were expecting it to be as successful. So on one of our calls, it's like, you know, we don't know. It may go to June. It may make it to October or December. They just don't know.
Mm.
It's an excellent program.
So was that Smart Buy program, the one that you just brought up, what are some of these programs that are that I've seen that have recently rolled out, were those actually scheduled to be temporary?
So IDA releases different programs at different times.
Okay.
So I don't know, you know, they never said it was temporary, but there's been a couple of programs that they've switched out for other programs, or they've discontinued some programs.
Mm.
So I'm not sure if the Smart Buy was scheduled to be temporary, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be around for a long time.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So can you actually go into a little bit more detail? You know, we just talked about the different programs that are available. Can you describe the home buying process?
Sure. So I'll do it like from start to finish. Initially, you want to get a pre-approval. You want to make sure that you are mortgageable. You want to make sure that your credit is acceptable, that you make enough money to make your purchase. And your realtor is not going to take you to see any properties until you've gotten that. So you want to make sure that you're able to purchase. So you find a lender that you're comfortable working with. I know most realtors refer three different lenders out for you to, you know, talk to and make a choice with the person that suits you best.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through the pre-approval process. Sometimes you're not able to be pre-approved at that time. Sometimes you need a little work. Sometimes there's some things on your credit that you need to, you know, fix before you can get pre-approved. But that's why you want to start that process early. If you know that you want to move by September, then April is not too early to start, to have somebody take a look and see, you know, what's going on with your credit, especially for people that don't look at their credit often. There's people that, you know, check their scores and check their credit regularly. And it's a good thing to do because of, you know, all the identity theft and everything going on now. So you do want to take a look at your credit as often as possible, not with pulling it, but just, you know, taking a look, Credit Karma and freecreditreport.com or some resources for that. So once you get through your pre-approval process, then that loan officer is going to provide you with a letter that you're going to present to your realtor. And then your realtor is going to pull up properties to, you know, based on what you're looking for in the price range that you've been approved for, pre-approved for, and set up appointments for you to go out and do that. So once you've found that property and put in your contract, your offer, you're going to make sure that you get an attorney. It's very important to have a real estate attorney. I've had a couple of people close recently that didn't use an attorney. I never advise that, because things could happen at a closing. There's, you know, all kinds of things could go bad at your closing and you don't have any protection. Something could come back at you, you know, a couple years later, because you didn't have an attorney to go over, you know, your closing documents with you. You always want to have that. I skipped a couple of things. You're going to get an inspection. Once you get your contract, you're going to get an inspection to make sure that your property is sound. And then your real estate attorney is going to go over your contract, and make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And once you get through that process and everything is submitted back to the lender, then the lender is going to order an appraisal to make sure that your property appraises out. So the appraisal is going to determine the value, the inspection is going to determine the soundness of your property.
Got it.
And you're going to go to underwriting and get approved, and then you're going to get your keys once you close. So that's kind of a little nutshell process.
Yeah, that is. And honestly, throughout the process, make sure that you are really trusting everybody involved.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you were holding my hand throughout the process. That was awesome.
Communicate. If there's things that you don't understand, if the lender is sending you documents to sign and you don't understand them, please question them. Don't just sign things because you're saying the lender sent it, so it must be okay. Yeah. You should understand every document that you put your name on. If you're not discussing it with the lender, discuss it with your attorney.
Yeah.
But make sure you're signing stuff and that you understand, because we don't want you to get to closing and then see these documents again and go, what is this? I never saw this. So, you know, understand the whole process.
Yeah, I cannot.
And another thing with IDA, you have to take a home buyer education class. I recommend those to people that are not even using down payment assistance programs, because there's such a wealth of information in doing those classes. And now there's so many online that you can do. They teach you how to budget, because like I said before, not things that you weren't previously responsible for as a renter, you are now responsible for as an owner. So you want to make sure your budget is in line, that, you know, all the things that you want to do, you can still do and pay your mortgage at the same time. And they go through post-closing things with you. So after you close, a lot of the not-for-profit agencies will call you and say, hey, how's your budget? Are you still in line? Are you making your mortgage payments on time? It's very important to do those home buyer education classes.
Yeah. Do they offer those, just curious, do they offer those home buyer education classes even if you have not gone through one of IDA's programs? Is that just free or?
Oh, absolutely. You can always take a home buyer education class. There's multiple resources in the city. Lucha, Northside Community Development, Chicago Urban League, Partners for Community Building. There's multiple organizations that offer those classes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Is there one that you are more familiar with than others that you would recommend more so?
No, they're all of the ones that I just named and others. They're all very good. And I work with all of them.
Fantastic. Okay. That's good to know. I didn't know that. So here's an interesting question. Can people with bad credit purchase a home, or even if they don't have that perfect credit score, is buying a house still within their reach?
Well, bad credit. Yeah, that's a broad word there.
It depends. Okay.
No, you don't necessarily have to have a 700 credit score to purchase a home. There's, you know, bad credit that doesn't allow you to purchase, and then there's bad credit that does. It's just you have to look at that bad credit and put it in perspective.
Oh, okay. Now, actually, I want to explore that a little more, because I always thought.
I try not to call people's credit bad. I sometimes have to call it challenging. Let's do something to take it to the next level.
I like that. That's a softer blow.
I mean, there's some credit that, you know, you tell people, here's some homework and call me in 2 years. I've had some credit like that.
Wow.
You know, if that wasn't the case, then everybody that applied for a mortgage would have a mortgage. But there are people that get denied. So everybody's credit is not mortgageable.
Okay. And so what should people do if they want to pursue purchasing a home but don't necessarily have good credit? What are the factors that are kind of go into purchasing a home, and what do they need to do? What's that homework look like?
So you want to get a copy of your credit report. You want to look at it and make sure there's no collections or judgments, things that are outstanding that's going to prevent you from being approved. Mm-hmm. You want to look at your credit scores. You want to make sure that, you know, you've crossed that out of that 500 threshold, at least into the 600 threshold, because right now, whereas prior to pandemic, we could do loans in the high fives, mid fives. Right now, they're not really entertaining those credit scores. So you want to make sure that you've gotten over that. And again, the best resource is the community agencies, because they can pull your credit without getting a hit on it. Mm-hmm. And they can tell you, you know, you need to fix this, you need to fix that. And they have counselors there that can tell you, you know, what to do if you're not ready to go, you know, to a lender to get pre-approved yet. If you look at your credit report and you see there's all kinds of things that are on there that are in collection, or you've got a lot of late payments, chances are you're not going to get approved for a loan. So you want to go straight to getting their credit repair. I don't advise anybody to go to any of those credit repair companies that charge you to repair your credit. I've seen mm-hmm. so many horrible outcomes from that.
Oh,
but
really?
Oh, absolutely. People have paid, you know, into the thousands of dollars to these companies to repair their credit. And there's a timeline on those. Some people have said that, you know, my credit was good for 6 months, and then on that seventh month, somebody pulled it and everything that I paid them to take off has come back on there. And I've seen that happen multiple times.
Oh, wow.
So you want to make sure you can do your credit repair yourself. You can do that. You just have to, you know, get a little knowledge from either a lender or mm-hmm. one of the housing agencies, and they can give you some directions on how to do it. I can give you some directions on how to do it, but make calls to people. If you have a collection that's been on your credit report for, you know, 7 years, a lot of people think now that they're just going to automatically drop off. Well, that doesn't happen all the time now, because these collection companies sell these collections from one to the other. So you can have that thing on there for an indefinite amount of time. You want to make sure that you get, you know, especially banks like a Capital One card or any kind of bank credit card. They're not going to let you close with collections and with bank cards. Medical collections they fall into a different area. If they're not, you know, over $2,000 or $3,000, then most lenders will let you keep those medical collections on there. But if you've got repossessed cars and charge offs from credit card companies, those things have to be taken care of, because if you were to close with those on there, then that company could come back and put a lien on your property. And the lender doesn't want that to happen. So they want these things taken care of before they let you sign on the dotted line.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Well, I've seen those credit repair. I've never used one, but I've seen those companies, those credit repair companies, and it's just crazy that you're saying not to use them.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's some good ones out there. You know, usually ones that are tied to attorneys,
sure,
are much better than the fly-by-night ones on the corner. Because I've just not seen where sure. anybody's had any long-term lasting results. People, it's just temporary, you know, like putting a Band-Aid on them. And then once, a lot of times when people have gotten to the point where they've either saved enough money to buy, or they're, you know, at that point where they want to buy, all the things that they fixed have gone, come back on there.
Wow, that is so sad. It's got to be frustrating for those people too.
Yeah, you know? People are paying for that.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not knocking there. I'm sure there's some good companies out there. Do your research, you know, check the Better Business Bureau. Make sure they don't have a lot of complaints against them. You know, talk to other people, do your research before you start paying these people money. Because if you've got money to pay them, you got money to pay off those collections. Go to that company and offer them a settlement. You owe them $2,000, tell them you have $1,000. And then get those things removed rather than paying somebody else to do something that could be a temporary fix.
Wow. And that's interesting that you just brought that up. I don't think a lot of people know that you can do that. I definitely didn't know that until you just said it. So you actually have the ability to settle with these companies as well?
A lot of these people have purchased these debts from the companies. So they want, to them, some is better than none. They're getting something to cover their employees, you know, making those 10,000 phone calls to you and to keep their lights on. A lot of times they'll take it.
Interesting. Okay. I did not know that. That's very interesting. And you know what? Here's another thing too. So some folks that may have come out of a bad credit situation, they may be a little leery about opening up another credit card. So what are some other alternatives if someone did not want to open up a credit card?
So Experian right now is offering that Experian Boost program that, you know, puts your utilities and different things on your credit report. The unfortunate thing about that is it's only going on your Experian. But you can call yourself. You can have your like your insurance. If you pay your car insurance monthly, your cell phone, you can have your utilities put on your credit report yourself. All you have to do is call it the credit reporting agencies, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, to have those things put on there. So if you're not wanting to open up another card, then that's an option for you to use alternative credit. Another option is to get a secure card through your bank. That's a card that you're going to deposit money in on. So you're going to go to your bank and say, I want to put in $1,000. Well, you're going to use that card like a credit card, but every month you're going to pay that money back. And that's reporting on your credit report as a monthly, you know, an on-time monthly payment, provided you're making it on time. But you're not taking on any additional debt. You're using your own money. But then if you do it for like 12 months at the end of that period, then you've got 12 months of credit history on your credit report that's, you know, helping to build your credit.
Okay, that's super interesting. I know about the secured one because you introduced me to that one, but I didn't know about the other one. So you can actually call like companies, these credit bureau companies like Experian, Equifax, and tell them, hey, I want to put my cell phone bill, my utilities bill, and have that can be viewed
as credit.
Opening up credit?
Yes.
You are the first person I've ever heard say that. I did not know that.
Yep. But if you're going to do that, make sure you're planning on paying them on time, because you know, that defeats the whole purpose. If you're adding your cell phone bill on there, you only pay your cell phone bill every other month.
Yeah.
Like most people do. You know?
Oh my goodness. No.
You want to make sure that anybody you're adding on there. So make sure you add people that you know you're going to pay on time every month.
Sure.
So you reap the benefits of that.
Of course, of course. And are there certain things that people should watch out for if they wanted to perhaps go the secured card out route? If they wanted to get a secured card, what should they be looking for?
Well, I always tell people to start with the bank that they bank with.
Okay.
All banks don't offer secure cards, but and the ones that do, they're pretty much all the same. You want to make sure that they're going to report it to the credit bureaus. I don't think any bank doesn't, but, you know, that's a question to ask. Make sure that they're doing that, because, again, that would defeat the purpose.
Sure.
And make sure you get a comfortable amount. You know, don't put in $2,000 and then use that like a credit card and pay it late. You're paying that like it's a credit card, even though it's your own money. You're paying it like it's a credit card because you're trying to improve your credit scores.
Mm. And should they pay it in full then?
You know, you can pay it in full, use it. You know, you charge $100 a month, you pay $100 a month. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you take it out for a certain period of time. So you want to make sure that you're comfortable enough to where at the end of that term that it's paid, you know, you don't have any balances left over.
Sure. And you know what I've learned? I think we all have learned so much from you. So just curious, name one goal that you want to cross off of your bucket list for 2021.
<laughs> 2021 goal. I thought about that.
It's okay.
I looked at the questions. I have, you know, because I have 2020 carryovers. So
right, don't we all?
I think right now I want to, because of the family members that I've lost recently and friends, mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that I keep in touch with people better. I'm really not mm-hmm. good at that. Sure. People know that I'm not good at it, so people tend to call me, and I want to get better. I want to get better at communicating. I want to make phone calls sometimes and not always have people call me.
No. So,
yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And, I'm really bad at that.
You know what? Life gets in the way. I get that too.
And
especially when you're good at what you do, sometimes we get a little wrapped up in our work. And at least that's maybe I'm.
It's just the people that I know that's me. So they've gotten used to it, but it's not good. It's not good. It's not a good habit.
Yeah. No, I agree. I got to work on that myself. And you know what? Last but not least, you know, we've learned so much from you this interview. What's the best piece of advice that you have for aspiring homeowners?
My best piece of advice would be to go for it. You know, a lot of people think, there's still people that think you have to have 20% down.
Yeah.
There's still people that think interest rates are crazy in the tens and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go for it. Go ask the questions. Go and see what you can purchase. It's just basically go for it. Stop living in fear, because there's no better investment that you can make in property. Well, I guess there's some bad investments you can make in property, but if you're purchasing a home to live in, to build equity in, mm-hmm. pass down to your family members, that's a great investment. So my advice would be to go for it.
That's awesome. Well, Ramona, I truly, truly appreciate the fact that you, first of all, took my phone call.
anytime.
First of all, you took my phone call, you took my business, and I really am appreciative. Like I said at the beginning of the show, Ramona is the loan officer that I used to close down on my dream condo. It's just absolutely beautiful.
It sure is beautiful.
Ramona's obviously seen pictures. But it is beautiful. And I cannot say enough about how conscientious she is. And again, just thank you so much, not just for the condo, but for coming on to the show as well. So I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure working with you after I got to know you. And I enjoyed our time together. Looking forward to doing more with you, because I love this platform that you have right here.
Yes, definitely.
Wishing you the best. Absolutely.
Definitely. And do you want to share, how can folks get in touch with you if they have more questions?
So I'll give you my email address.
Okay.
It's Ramona, Ramona dot Brooks, Brooks, at CIBC.com.
And guys, I cannot recommend enough, if you are looking to purchase a home and you need someone that is reliable, fast, awesome customer service, I cannot stress enough that you should definitely check out Ramona Brooks at CIBC Bank. I mean,
absolutely. So
I cannot. Yeah, it was a pleasure. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Good luck. Good luck. And I want to see pictures of your place after you add your
touch. Yes, definitely.
By the way, check out Starring You's website, because I created a free download that outlines the home buying process. So in the event that you need to kind of have like a checklist or something that you can refer to, this download is definitely going to be your shortcut. So be sure to check out Starring You's website and get your copy today. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I'm confident that my side hustle of helping others to invest in themselves via my YouTube channel, this podcast, and most importantly, my online courses could be of assistance to you. If you enjoy Starring You's podcast, please consider becoming a supporter by donating to help offset the cost of producing this show. Remember, if you're everything to everyone, then you risk being no one. You never know who you will inspire. See you in the next episode.